To chapter 5, verse 14. And we're looking at the assurance in prayer. Assurance in prayer. And as we've gone through 1 John, we see it's all about the believer's fullness of joy. And as we come towards the end of this wonderful epistle, we notice that John teaches again on subjects that he's already dealt with. Now he enlarges or he stresses the teaching and the importance of a subject. And that's what we have in these verses today. John's already spoken on the supreme ministry of prayer. And now that the members of the fellowship, he wants them to realize the full power and privilege of that prayer ministry that we have, and he wants to bring it to our attention once more. So our Bible reading, starting at verse 14, says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and it shall be given him. Life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." Now, first point this morning is the encouragement of prayer. You know, there are those who say that prayer doesn't have much effect at all. I've come across people saying, "Oh, I've been praying for years and nothing ever happens, and, you know, it's a bit of a waste of time to pray." But when we look at the prayer life of many in the scriptures, and not just the scriptures, but down throughout history, we find that's not the case at all. Listen, Moses believed prayer worked. David, the same. Daniel, he believed in prayer. Elijah, Paul believed in prayer. What about the Lord himself? He prayed. Did all that have no effect? No. You know, without doubt, since men began to call on God in prayer up to this very day today, the testimony is prayer is of great, great value. In verse 14 there, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." So what is the confidence that we do have? Well, answered prayer. Why? Because verse 13 reminds us that we have believed on the name of the Son of God. That's why we have confidence in God. You know, that would be the cry of the saints right throughout history. So what does prayer do for us then? Well, it keeps us fresh. Keeps us alive. In fact, Isaiah 40:31, we read, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, prayer revives the soul. It gives us energy. Prayer puts us on the mountaintop. You know, I don't know if you've ever been on a mountaintop, but the winds blow up there are refreshing. They're clean. They enliven. Didn't our Lord often go up into the mountain to pray? You see, prayer invigorates one's soul. You know, we know Daniel, he would often open up the windows in his room to pray. In Daniel 6:10, his windows being open, he kneeled upon his knees and prayed. And that's the confidence we have in him. What? That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You see, prayer is the means by which we receive things from God. Prayer gets things done. You see, the truth is, prayer is the main avenue for getting God's will done on this earth. And the confidence that we have is that if we ask anything according to his will, then he hears us. Now listen, God has not promised to give us whatever's contrary to his will. It's only what is according to his will. He answers prayer, but sometimes when we don't hear from him, then the simple answer is a no. When we think he should say yes, amen. we get a no. Now, we should always pray the way our Saviour prayed, not my will, but thine be done. You see, as a true believer, really, we don't want God to answer any prayer that would be contrary to his will. You know, we want him to give us what is best for us. And if it's best for us, then that will glorify him. Now, those words there, according to his will, would be better understood as in accordance with what God has made known concerning his will. Now, that puts a bit different view on what's being spoken here, because there are a multitude of verses in the New Testament, in fact, in the whole Bible, that point out what God's will is. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us that God's will is that you abstain from fornication. So we don't have to worry about that one. That's his will. It's God's will that we forgive other people their sin. It's God's will that we comfort believers in their hour of sorrow. You see, it's God's will to supply our every need. It's God's will to give us sufficient grace when we need it, to give us wisdom and to direct us. Now, verses for those, Philippians 4:13, John 14:27, James 1:5. Now, there are things that God does because of prayer that he will not do without prayer. You know, those who don't think God answers prayer, what do they say then in the light of I picked an old saint of George Mueller? What about his orphanage work? You know, he started out in a small way. He felt for these poor children who had nothing to eat or drink or nowhere to sleep on the streets. And he says, well, I've got to provide something for these people, these young children. Do you know, within 60 years, he clothed, fed, educated, and cared for over 100,000 children in need. Isn't that amazing? And that still goes on today. That's only while he was alive. And I read he gathered £2 million. That's a lot of money back then. Simply and solely by prayer. Now, why? Because he believed what God said when he said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Now, that £2 million in prayer, I tried to equate that, and that's around 200 million Australian dollars today. How did he do it? He prayed for it. He made a rule never to advertise or ask anyone for money. That was his rule. Simply to tell God of the need, ask him to supply the need. And God did exactly that. And that's just one of the many stories that we could provide and tell about missionaries' provision and guidance and strength and protection. Do you know, even the weather, James 5, 17 and 18 deals with the weather that we pray for. Now, we can pray whenever and wherever we desire. We don't have to go up to a mountain. We don't have to be in a garden. We don't have to go into church. Knowing that if we are praying according to his will, he will hear and he will answer our prayers. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know that with our God, there's nothing too big, nothing too small, nothing too insignificant or complicated for him to take the time to work that out for us. Now, verse 15 says, and if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Now, back in chapter 3, 22, we read, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So the anythings and the whatsoevers are dependent on conditions. And those conditions are being, so we must be born of God, we must be obedient, we obey his commandments, the dwelling, we dwell in him and he in us, The knowing is the according to his will. The asking is asking for definite specific things. And the receiving is we have the petitions. Now, I don't think we have time today, but go home and read a couple of times this week, James 4, verses 2 to 10. Read it. Because it is true that God may not grant the specific thing we pray for, because we're praying amiss and we're praying out of order. Now, Jesus said, saying, Father, remember, Jesus didn't get this prayer answered. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But he added, not thy will, but thine be done. And God's will was he would not remove that cup. Remember Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. You see, it's true, God may not grant the specific thing for which we pray, but God never disregards the prayers of his children. And it can be difficult to understand sometimes, but it's for our own good that God withholds what we ask for. And if it is, then he will withhold it. Now, God is faithful, and we know that he will do what is best for us. And that is if we are willing for his will to be worked out in our life. You see, there's times when we wonder why God's not at work. Well, he may well be at work. He may be building our faith, strengthening us in our faith by withholding what we think we need. But our first desire should be, Lord, grant unto me those things that will be for my good and your glory. You know, we should, in humble submission, pray like the psalmist, Psalm 25. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, some people pray, some people just say words. And true praying is petition in faith, making our requests made known unto God. So, secondly, what we need to know about prayer. Now, in verses 14 and 15, we have the word ask. Now, some Christians are content with just saying prayers, as I've mentioned, and that can be a habit that's earnest, but it can also be a habit where we slip into it being nothing more than a mere formality. But what a difference it would make with friends, with our family, with our outreach around the world, if we would enter into prayer unhurried, set a special time for each day, or maybe once or twice a week, to get alone with God. If we could be clear and specific, what might be accomplished with such prayer to enter into that closet and just close the door behind us? Him and us, just alone. You see, when we come to God in prayer, we must always remember who we're speaking to. We are speaking to the Almighty, the All-Holy, the All-Highest God. And anything other than the most utmost reverence is unbecoming at God's throne. Listen, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't even be able to approach him. He opened the way. God himself took the initiative. He granted the audience, and for our encouragement, He also has given us the ground of access. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ." That's the ground of access, the blood of Christ. We're also given the use of the access. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, in all humble dependence, yet with great hope, and be called, he has asked us to come and ask, we can absolutely gladly exercise the privilege we have to intercede. We can ask. Now in verse 16 it says we can pray. "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it." Now that word "pray" is only used once in our passage. And it was interesting to look at this word, because it's a word used of requests between an equal to an equal. It was the word used when speaking of the Lord praying to his heavenly Father. And the amazing thing is that God allows some people sometimes to speak to him in this more intimate way. Listen, God has no favorites, but God most definitely has intimates. As to say, those who have an absorbing love for him. These people have an entry into the presence of God. They have an entry to the ear of God that is so, so near, it can be hard to explain. They ask like the rest of us in an ordinary way, but there are times, there are conditions in which they may pray as equal to equal in a closer way, as a friend to a friend. Now Jesus remind us in John 15:14, he says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." You see, this inner prayer, this close prayer, praying, this intimate praying seeks further things. It can seek deeper things than just ordinary prayer. And that's what I'm talking about with the condition of George Mueller. But there are sometimes, there is even a limit to this kind. Now we see here there's the sin unto death. So how do we view this? Now there's a difference between the unpardonable sin and the sin unto death. Now the unsaved or the sinner, he commits the unpardonable sin. But it's the believer who commits the sin unto death. Now, the unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You've seen it in Matthew 12:31. And it makes clear it is the persistent rejection of the testimony of the Holy Spirit concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a born-again believer cannot commit that sin because we're saved. The Holy Spirit lives within us the moment we accepted Christ as our Savior. So the unpardonable sin has to do with the destruction of a soul. But the believer can commit a sin unto death. And that's what it says, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death." Now remember, who's this letter written to? The little born ones. In other words, this is for believers. So the brother of the believer would be another believer. So if we who are believers seen a born-again brother or sister sin a sin which is not unto death, we can pray concerning that sin and God will give life. It says he will give him life for them that sin not unto death. But there is a sin unto death, and when a believer has committed that sin, the Bible's clear there's no point praying for them. Now we have an illustration of this in the life of Abraham, when it was useless for him to pray. Now in Genesis 18, verses 20 to 30, we won't read all of them, God revealed to Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham knew he had family there. Lot was there, his nephew. So he drew near to God, and in Genesis 18, 23, Abraham drew near to God and said, "Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" And the Lord replied to him in verse 26, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes." And we know the story. 50 couldn't be found. So Abraham continued to pray until he got the number down to 10 righteous people. And he said in verse 32 there of Genesis 18, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy the city for 10's sake." And look at verse 33. "And the Lord went his way." The Lord went his way. As soon as he left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. You see, brothers and sisters, there is a stopping place, a limit, and Abraham had reached that limit in his intercession for Sodom. Now, when a city or an individual has committed such sin, then there's no reason for a Christian to continue praying for those people or that place. Now, Jesus was very clear in Matthew 7, 6, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." And when a Christian falls into sinning, their salvation is not jeopardized. Okay? They do not go back to being unsaved. The sin unto death is physical death. It is not spiritual death. But there are certain cases where a believer is so far gone, so deep into terrible sin, they will incur the penalty of physical death, but they are still saved. Now we have a picture of that at the Christians at Corinth. Remember, they were victims of such a thing. The sore disappointment of God. Why? Because of their terrible behavior in abusing the Lord's Supper. And 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And look what it says to us. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." You see, it is a physical chastening of the Lord, whether of sickness or in a very extreme cases so extreme that death will occur. But they're still saved. Because look what verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 11 says. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord." Why? "That we should not be condemned with the world." We're still born again. We're still saved. Now, it's interesting that, did you know that Moses sinned unto death? True, he did. Genesis 32, 48. "The Lord spoke unto Moses the selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And look what the Lord says, and die in that mount, whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died at Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Why? Why would God say that to him? The very next verse says, God says, because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land, but thou shalt not go in hither, which I give to the children of Israel. Achan sinned unto death in Joshua. Joshua said, why has you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And Israel stoned you with stones and burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. Ananias sinned unto death, Acts 5, 1-11. It's the truth that that's just the truth of how it is. But very, very extreme cases. And is it amazing that this is the one area forbidden concerning prayer? My question to leave us all with this afternoon then is, how large then is the area we are allowed to pray, where we can minister to others, pray for others, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, pray for our lost loved ones, and according to God's will, he will answer that prayer. What a great and mighty God we have. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Sometimes it can be a bit of a bitter pill for us to read and study, but it is the truth. And we thank you for your grace upon our life. We thank you for your patience and your mercy. And Lord, as we pray for those we love, may we search out your will for our lives, Lord, that we pray according to your will and believe wholeheartedly that you will answer our prayers. We thank you, Father, for the great and mighty God that you are. And we ask for your blessing upon this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.